Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
48 hours, am I right? 48 hours.
Fresh Kerr?
Fresh Kerr. Every single week.
Oh, Steve.
Steve Kerr. Thursdays. Or at least this Thursday.
Yep.
I mean,
it'll move around a little bit.
It's
but
a fluctuation sensation.
That's a buck, yeah. Depending on the schedule.
Ka-ching!
Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, it starts this week on Thursday. And by the way, you know what happens?
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
But thank you, Steve. You know what happens a week from tonight? It's a basketball game that counts.
The opening.
We will be live at Splash. And I want to say that a couple of times because it's not a home game, which means we will be at Splash for the show. And I don't know about you. I don't want to speak for you. We're going to be at Splash after the show, too.
Oh, yeah. Watch that game.
I'm not going home.
No.
I'm going to stay. Lakers, Warriors, Splash next Tuesday. Y'all should be there. That's the spot to watch the game next Tuesday. So that'll be fun.
Very fun. Super fun and a super exciting game. They got the Lakers, and then you come home, you got Denver, and then you know Portland on the road the next night. And the NBA, the schedule and the rhythm and the routine, we start to get into it.
Yeah, and those of you who do have tickets for Thursday's home opener, we'll be out there that day too. That is still sort of TBD with regard to our exact location, but we will be out there on the Thrive City Greater Chase Center Splash property somewhere, getting you ready for that one too. So make sure you come on by and say hi to your afternoon radio hosts at the home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Willard and Dibbs doing it, getting ready for a Warrior season. In the meantime, trying to, you know, breathe life into this Niner season, keep this thing alive.
I mean, it's got plenty of life. I just don't know if it's got any sustainability. And so, you know, Feliciano at 5 will do Grandy's grades here in 5 minutes. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? We're talking about whether the window is open or closed because I hear a lot of people say right now that they feel like, you know, this team's in transition, the window is closed, don't go after something too hardcore. And I'm with part of that. I think in this moment, without knowing what the Niners are going to do the next 2 weeks, if they're 6-2 in a week and a half, we're probably having a different conversation. I think you need to help your team. They're 4-2. They've earned that. So you need to help them, but you're not going to do that at the expense of your future. You're not going to make bad business moves going after a Super Bowl that, quite frankly, is very, very hard to come by this year with your key defensive players already gone, and they are irreplaceable players. With that, we all agree. But I don't think the 49ers really believe in this idea of a window either being open or closed. In football, you've got a job, and that is to constantly, if you're a good organization, and we've seen some do it, the Ravens, the Packers, etc., like it is your job to replace players on the fly. You know, it's not like this is a big team. It's not a basketball team. Steph Curry retires, up, we start over. It's not like that. So, yes, you've got an aging left tackle and an aging running back and an aging tight end and now two defensive stalwarts who are dealing with major injury. It is the 49ers' job with roster construction to be ready for those things on the fly. And so I would just be very hesitant to go all in on this year, knowing that you're 4-2, but let's be realistic. Like, I don't want to say you're lucky to be there or you've caught breaks, but the margins are so narrow. And I think for all of us, it's pretty believable that, you know, that they could be 4-4 in a week and a half. They could be 6-2, but I don't think anybody nobody's putting all their chips in the middle of the table that this is a great team right now.
No, and I also look at the upgrades. And yesterday we got into a debate about getting a pass rusher, and I still think that if you can go out and get one, you should. But as you take a more broad look at this team and where they are overall, well, you probably need a linebacker, you need a pass rusher, and you also need some offensive line help. So if you're really looking to get this team better and better enough to where you can possibly go on a run, now you're talking about adding three, if not four people, and hoping that your quarterback and your tight end both come back and are healthy. So there's a lot of ifs around how you would want get this team to be in a spot to where you get to December or January and you actually could go on a run. So yeah, you have Atlanta at home, you're favored, you'll go to Houston, and if you're not favored, it'll be a 3 or 4 point spread, and then you'll go to New York, and depending on how you've done and how they've done, that'll probably be a game where you're also favored. But if you look at the next three games before the deadline, you're probably not going to go 3-0. You may go 2-1. I think 1-2 is probably more likely. So if you get out of the Giants game and you're 5-4 and you're 2 days away from the deadline at that point, you're probably not going to look to make any real upgrades. You're going to be 5-4 and you'll think, okay, we're going to play this out. We have 8 more games. We can still make the playoffs and we'll see what we have and see what we can do.
Cleveland Farrell just got released from a practice squad.
Right. I've been saying that he is a great target all along.
Available.
He was available before on the practice squad.
Right. You don't need to give up anything. Nothing.
And when he's on a squad, it's the same thing. You can just sign him.
You can sign him, yes. Yeah,
right. Exactly. You can straight up sign him. So, I mean, he's a body. He's a guy. He's not really what I would call an impactful player, but you need bodies. Yeah. You need people who have played here. And I don't think that he played for Robert Saleh. That might have been post-Saleh.
No, it was post. Yeah, he was on the team just 2 years ago.
Right. So he was here with, I can honestly say, I'm sort of built for this.
Yeah.
And he actually was really mostly good.
He was good.
You know, setting the edge and, you know, doing those things.
All right. 888-957-9570. We'll get back to your phone calls ASAP. But right now we've arrived at that time. And for many, this is what they're waiting for, especially after a loss. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for Grandy's Grades.
All right, guys. Always like doing grades after a win. Unfortunately, this one doesn't feel quite as good after the loss and the Fred Warner injury. But as always, we will go position group, basically by position group. And we begin with the quarterback spot, which, again, was a Mac Jones start. I know he threw 2 interceptions, and the second one basically ended the game. I think it's a little misleading, though. I thought Mac played a pretty good ball game, threw for nearly 350 yards, didn't throw a touchdown, but kept the Niners offense afloat when the offensive line was doing very little for him and the run game wasn't really supporting him either. I thought Mac was better than average. I gave him a solid B for his performance, which you look at the stats, I think it looks like it should be worse, but I think it's misleading. A B for Mac.
I purposefully don't go look for your online grades before we do this because I want to, like, I don't want that to shade what I'm thinking about this, so I write them down before I know what you give them. You gave him a B. I gave him a B.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you just said. Mac Jones was really good in this game. He was really good. The only you can't give him an A, though, because of multiple turnovers, ball security in the pocket, left a little something to be desired. One of the interceptions wasn't his fault at all. But what's going on around him, particularly up the middle of the offensive line, makes it exceedingly difficult. But I look at the throws, man. When he ripped it downfield, it went where he was trying to get it to go. And there were a lot of high-level throws that he executed. So better than average is exactly the way to put it. I give him a B also.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same spot with the grade. And I actually look at your grades, and then I don't internalize them, and then I go about doing my own thing. I actually look at your grades, and I just to try to get a sense for what Monday is going to be like, because you do them on Sunday, and then they get put out. And I love the grades that you put out because you're really astute and you watch football. But for me, it would have been a much higher grade if not for that last interception. And I've watched the playback today a couple of different times, and he's got multiple people open, and it's fourth down. And he had checkdowns available that would have still got them the first down. And he forced the ball when he didn't need to force the ball. So it goes from an A minus. I had it at a B minus before, but I bumped it up to a B because of what you're saying, Willard, and about the level of duress that he had to fight through. So he gets a B.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with you guys as well. Up next is skill positions, which is running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Not much of a run game once again. I think that's less on Christian McCaffrey and more on the offensive line. I mean, just ask Stink, for goodness sake. If you missed it, go back on the Odyssey app and you can give that a listen. There were some mess ups in the wide receiver.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Room in this one as well. Kendrick Bourne had a drop, but he bounced back from that, had a good game once again. Juwan Jennings had a really, really rough game despite playing through all those injuries, and he might have had a worse off the field day than he did on the field. DeMarcus Robinson had a really bad drop as well, but considering that you didn't have anything going in the run game again and he still managed to pass the ball for 350 yards, I thought Kendrick Bourne bounced back really well. Jake Tonjes had an amazing second half, and McCaffrey in the pass game continues to be an absolute hero. So not good. There were some issues, but not bad at all for me. I thought skill positions got a B minus.
Yeah, I'm the same B minus, and I was going to go lower. But then when you think about a couple of monster Kendrick Bourne catches, you talked about the Tonjes, which was a key one in the second half. There were a few drops, and McCaffrey in the run game, I don't really put that on him as much. We'll get to offensive line coming up. So they didn't fumble the ball. They didn't drop more than there were two passes that were drops, and by and large they were pretty impactful, and Shanahan schemed it up great. So I had it as a B minus.
Yeah. I'm a little harsher on these guys than you were. I'm going to C for the skill position players. Look, I sympathize with Christian McCaffrey and the holes that are being opened up, but there's also just there has not been the dynamic play from him, and he has to at least share in that a little bit. But he's not the reason that they got a C. They got a C because a DeMarcus Robinson drop, a Juwan Jennings massive penalty, and a sideline fight. Like, I'm sorry. That's absurd. With everything going on with this football team, you decide now with Fred Warner on his way to the hospital and the 49ers playing from behind because of an interception that set up an opening touchdown because Kendrick Bourne went the wrong way. So you have that play, and then you decide now's the moment to go start yelling at your coach and then admitting all of your injuries in detail to the press after the fact. Sure, there's plenty of good to make this not a D or an F, but there's plenty of bad to prevent this from being an A or a B, if you ask me.
Yeah, I like that. And also Bourne with the false start. And I didn't account for Bourne going the wrong way on the sight adjust. So, yeah, I'd like to change my grade, but I won't because it's in pen.
Lock it in, Dibs.
Yeah, it's locked. I yocked it in.
You got to yock in.
And up next is the offensive line. I don't think I need to say all that much. I thought it was an absolutely atrocious day by almost everybody on that offensive line, some worse than others. That's all I'm going to say. They got an F. Terrible, terrible performance, no redeeming qualities.
All right, I'm going to give him a D just because, like, I mean, you did move the ball. You did have a quarterback go for 300-some-odd yards, so, like, there's a redeeming quality in there somewhere that it's like, yes, he got sacked too many times. There weren't enough holes, but they're blocking someone. But yeah, there's not a whole lot that's good to say. Too many penalties, too many whiffs. Vita Vea literally picking people up and throwing them to the ground.
Literally.
You got beat. You got soundly beaten. You get a D from me.
It's a D. Yeah, and I can't go full F because of what you're saying, Mark. And 347 passing yards. You had enough plays where you had explosives, and I'm looking at the sheet, born for 41, born for 56. These are plays that were blocked up enough to where you could at least make throws down the field. So it was not a complete disaster, but man, Dominic Pooney, I can't wait to talk to John Feliciano and Mongo at 5 o'clock to talk about a slump, because he's in a world of hurt. The tackles I thought were mostly good. The interior three were terrible.
There was a play, it was end of the first half, Niners in like a really, not a two-minute drill, even quicker than that, like a one-minute drill. They were at about midfield, and they drew up a screen to McCaffrey, and there was a lot of space on the left side. Lavonte David was approaching McCaffrey, but the Niners had spaced Jake Brendel out there, and it was Jake Brendel versus Lavonte David. He gets a block down, or at least just gets in his way. McCaffrey probably gets 25 or 30 yards, and Brendel did nothing. Yeah.
He got 3 yards.
Absolutely nothing.
Probably
cost him 20 yards.
Yep, at least. You're right.
So, offensive line, absolutely terrible. Over to the defensive side of the football, we start with the front seven. That's a down lineman and the linebackers. This was really hard for me to grade because you lose Fred Warner in the first half. Already, or even the beginning of the season, the heart and soul of that group, even more so now without Nick Bosa. You lose him. What do you really expect out of that group? So that is part of this here. Honestly, it wasn't absolutely terrible. It still wasn't very good. And I can't forgive not being able to get Baker Mayfield down on that 3rd and 14, which he eventually converted and got a first down. It led to a touchdown. Front seven without Fred Warner. Not absolutely terrible, but still not good. C- from me.
Yeah, C- is what I have. And I'm glad you pointed out that 3rd and 14, because that was the absolute game-changing play. And I would have gone lower if not for Fred Warner and what he did early in that game when he completely blew up a screen pass, and it looked like Fred was going to have one of those days that we love where there's going to be a punch out. Maybe he gets an interception. Fred was everywhere, but you can't shy away from the fact that Tampa rushed for more than 100 yards. You had one sack and one QB hit, and you're really doing nothing in terms of pressuring the other team. And yeah, it's just not good enough. C-.
This is interesting to me. I actually gave them a B-, and I'll tell you why. I understand everything you guys said. It's all accurate. But at the same time, what are we really asking of these guys? There's no Nick Bosa and there's no Fred Warner. Plus, there's the pit in their stomach of the fact that there's no Fred Warner. So, look, this is pro football. I'm not here to make excuses. I thought they rushed the passer better than they did the previous two games without Nick. They just didn't quite get to Baker enough. He's shifty. He's very good. Yes, the tackling was very poor. I'm not going to give him an A. I'm not going to give him even a B+. But at the same time, that group is just like their legs have been ripped off of their body. Their right leg and their left leg are both gone. I don't know exactly what to expect. Tatum Bethune, I thought, you know, considering the circumstances, you came in there and did about as well as anybody could have asked of you. So I was not offended by this group, looking at all the things that might have offended me by this game. So I go B-.
Up next is the defensive backfield, so the corners and the safeties. It's the secondary. This is a good Tampa Bay passing offense. Baker Mayfield might be the favorite to win MVP through 6 weeks of the season. He's really good. But Tampa also either began the game or very soon in the game were without their top four receivers in Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Emeka Ibuka, and then also Jalen McMillan, who we forget about, a rookie last year, had an okay year, but was expected to be top three, top four receiver for them this year. And you got beat consistently by receivers named Cameron Johnson and Tez Johnson and Sterling Shepard, to the tune of Baker Mayfield throwing for 256 yards and 2 touchdowns without forcing a turnover. bad performance by the secondary. The secondary looks young and inexperienced. It is. It makes sense, but still, bad performance. A D from me.
Yeah, I actually went C minus. Some of the similar reasons, but again, you're talking about babies out there who are going to make mistakes against a plus quarterback. Also, a little bit of a nod to Malik Mustafa, who is just back playing football for the first time in many, many months, and actually thought he played okay at times. But in general, the youth is evident, and the mistakes are very evident, and they're paying for that dearly. They've got no pass rush, so they're being put on an island. I find it to be kind of an impossible situation for a bunch of really young players, but at the same time, this is the NFL. You have to perform, and they didn't do it very well, so to me, that's a C-.
Yeah, I split the difference with a D+. I'm right between you two. Too many blown coverages, and I'm thinking about the Cameron Johnson touchdown where they bring Stout on a blitz, and they drop Huff into coverage. Huff has got the guy covered, and in the back end, Diamino Lenore, and I don't know if it was Siegel or the safety, there was a lack of communication because Cameron Johnson was wide open, and the other one for Tez Johnson, amazing catch, yes.
Yep.
He was also wide open. He had about 8 or 10 yards of terra firma in front of him. You're young. There's no pass rush. I get it. You can't be leaving these guys open that much. It's a D+, guys.
Fair. And then we got special teams. This is a weird one because Eddie Pinheiro was awesome, made all of his kicks once again. He's incredible. He looks like the best kicker in the NFL, not just accuracy-wise, but also kicking really good from distance. So that half of special teams was an A++, as good as you possibly could get. But everything else was a bit of an issue again. The Niners continue to lose the field position battle on kickoffs. They consistently are giving opponents the ball at the 35 or more, whether it's a touchback or bad kick coverage. They can't return kicks or punts to save their lives. And Sky Moore is making a name for himself by catching punts inside the 5-yard line, and it drives me crazy. But again, Pinheiro was awesome and kept them in the game with his right foot. A B- for special teams, but I'll separate it A+ for Pinheiro and an F for almost everything else.
Pretty good. I also have a B-, and it's for the many of the reasons you laid out, and I can't stomach the Sky Moore thing anymore. You caught a punt at the 2, you caught a punt at the 4, and I wasn't going to text the group, but I was thinking of you, Grandy, grinding your teeth. I hope you had your mouth guard.
Out.
I hope you had your mouth guard in, because on that second punt, I was worried about the teeth, because I know how you grind on it. Eddie Pinheiro, my God, like, they're lining up for a field goal. Just go do whatever you need to do. It's gonna be made. And, you know, Morstead, a couple of good punts. And I don't think that Eddie had more than one touchback on kickoff. So, yeah, B-.
I went B because I actually think that outside of what Sky Moore's doing, it was a pretty good day for the special teams. Sky Moore made 2 plays that are complete head-scratchers. I don't know why that's difficult to get through his head. But outside, if you take those 2 plays out, I largely think this was pretty well done. Yes, there's Pinheiro. He's the lead story. Morstead was good. Their coverage of kicks was solid enough. They didn't let anybody break through and get to midfield. You know, the ball security was good from Sky Moore and Brian Robinson Jr. Literally, those 2 more catches are the only bothersome thing for me. So I'll go B.
Last but not least, it is coaching. The fact that the Niners were in this game and they legitimately had a chance to win it or at least tie it late in this ballgame and have a chance to win it on the road, down everything that they were down, learning in-game that you're going to lose Fred Warner, not just for that game, but for the rest of the season. I was impressed, and I think a lot of that comes from the coaching staff in general. There was the spat between Shanahan and Jennings. That doesn't impact my grades here at all. I thought it was a solid day for the coaching staff, a B for the Niners coaches.
I'm going to give them even better. I'm going to give them an A- because I don't really know necessarily what it is they did wrong. The only reason it's not an A is because, quite frankly, you know, at some point, it is your job to have the team ready for adversity. But I also, like, this is where I do sort of want to give people a pass. When you lose Fred Warner, you lose Fred Warner. Like, your pants are down around your ankles. So I don't know necessarily what a coach is supposed to go out there and do. Hey, seventh round, second year player, get on out there and run the show, okay? He's not ready for that. So that combined with what you just said, Grandy, they were in the game. The play calling was solid enough. I'm not coming after Kyle for going for it on fourth down. I would have too. They gave him a chance to win. That's what coaches are supposed to do. A minus for me.
Great play calling, great use of the timeouts at the end of the first half. However, when you've got 10 men on the field, either you or the defensive coordinator has got to be able to do the math, it up, and call timeout. I had to give him a B minus because not because Fred Warner got hurt on that play. That's an unfortunate circumstance, but when you see you've got 10 out there, you call timeout, and that and the spat too, to me. Like, you got to be able to keep that stuff behind closed doors. I'm not blaming Shanahan, but that was just a bad, bad look. So it's a B minus for me.
Grandy's grades every Tuesday, at least when the game is on Sunday. We'll be doing that again a week from today. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, here come Mongo. It's Fat Tuesday, everybody. John Feliciano, he was on this offensive line the last 2 years. He joins us every Tuesday at 5. And if you haven't heard what Richard Sherman said on his podcast about the 49ers O-line play, you are going to want to hear this. We will not only play it for you, we will play it for John Feliciano. And that's coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.